Blog Talk Radio.
It was the Anglo-American alliance that stood up and fought the tyranny which you hate. So did Norway. So did Denmark. So did the Scandinavians as well, who stood up and fought.
What do you think of Sweden?
Sweden was neutral.
What do you think of Sweden?
I think if people had been neutral against Hitler, Hitler would have won.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task. Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter, we shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
To the English Defence League radio show, broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the truth and the voice of the EDL. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the banner of the show is the English Defence League radio show, Suicide Prevention. And I've got to once again thank Dave for the great script and the great slides for this evening. Cheers, Dave. God bless you, mate. welcome to the English Defence League radio show. Here's your host, Jeff Spider-Mitchell, and my wingman for this evening is Dave Agadell-Milner. Tonight we'll be discussing stories of note, showing you how crooked politicians, dishonest media, and their Islamic death cult allies are trying to drive civilization to its own suicide through deceitful policy and racist woke counterculture. We value our society and the right of all children to live free in a world where they don't have to be afraid. We will prevent the suicide of common sense. No surrender ever. All that is necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing. Of course, that was by the late, great Edmund Burke. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable, of course. That was by the late, great President John F. Kennedy. Without further ado, let me bring on my dear friend and colleague, Dave Agadell-Milner. Good evening, Dave. to you and the great listeners of the United States. God bless you, mate. I hope you're well this evening.
Hello, Jeff. Good evening to you. And good evening to everybody in the UK. Hello to everybody around the world. Good afternoon to everybody in the United States. And, of course, hello to everyone off Earth. Let me just say, now, that's for all the Unpleasant Blind Guy fans in the Crab Nebula, Jeff, just to let you know, just giving them a wave there. Now, guys, we have a big show. There's been obviously a lot that's happened on both sides of the pond here, and we're going to just jump right into it. But before we do that, we just want to remind you guys that there is a demonstration coming up. Is there not, Jeff?
There is. As I say, I'm still waiting for confirmation of the date and the month of where it's been. I shouldn't think it'd be too deep because I know that there's a meeting being held. So as soon as we find out, myself and Dave, we will let you, our great listeners out there, our foot soldiers and our angels, know exactly. All we can say for definite is that it will be held in Newcastle. Not sure what side of Newcastle, north or the south of it, but we will fill you in the details once I get more information. Okay, guys, so there you go. So I think it's something people have been looking forward to. They've been chilling for a little while and see what's been going on, Brexit, etc., etc. Now it seems like we have issues in Newcastle and different places around the country, but that's where we normally go when there's issues that has not been resolved. And you know what I'm talking about, the rage jihad gangs and the police turning their backs on what's going on around them. Unfortunately, that does seem to be the mindset of the Sharia compliancy, doesn't it, ladies and gentlemen? But we will fight for it like we always have done, and common sense will prevail, isn't it? It always does. We've seen a lot of common sense prevail over the years, haven't we, Dave? Me and you, as our little team, we've seen common sense. We've seen, you know, people getting really angry about things, and then all of a sudden, there's a light, you know, a light at the end of the tunnel, and then it just, all that we fight for, all that we stand for, you know, comes into the true effect, and it's worth it. It's worth the battle, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen? The thing we're all fighting for at the moment now is freedom of speech in this country and probably across the world. You know, it's not just the United Kingdom. Until we put an end to political correctness garbage, put that in the bins of history, the better our great world will be. That's the way I look at it. I'm sure Dave feels the same as myself. But Dave, so there you go. There's, we've got lots of things been going on, haven't we? From your side of the pond to this side of the pond, Dave. The news is news, isn't it, Bryce?
Yeah, there is, Jeff. And the first item, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes I'll pick a story, not only because it's important, but because I know it'll set Jeff off. And, you know, I love to hear Jeff go on a rant. And this is an important part of Brexit. It has been. And really the most important part, as we know, is the immigration issue. And that we're going to definitely touch on tonight with some audios and things. But one of the other issues involving with immigration is fishing rights. Okay, now this story here that I'm going to read just the bullet points of and the headline here really is by Jack Maidment, deputy political editor for the Mail Online. And this one came out on the 19th, yesterday. So it was updated then. And I know this is an important issue for Jeff. And it's an important issue for a lot of people on the east coast of the UK. Now, here's the headline. The Brexit Cod War. MEPs that's ministers of the European Parliament, by the way, for our American listeners, warn Britain that EU fishermen must keep the same rights to fish in British waters as they have now, or there will be, or there will never be a trade deal. Now, I knew the moment that I read that headline that that was going to set Jeff off. But Jeff, before I unleash you on this, let me just read the bullet points. There's four of them. All right. And the first one is access to UK waters for EU fishermen will be a crunch issue during trade talks. Yeah, no kidding. Second bullet point. EU seeking, quote, reciprocal access, end quote. But UK has said priority will be for British trawlers. Third bullet point, new chair of European Parliament Fisheries Committee today set out red lines. It's interesting how they're setting out the red lines. Okay, and the last one, Pierre Karlskind demanded, quote, nothing more, nothing less, end quote, than current access. In other words, no change to the status quo, even after Brexit. Jeff, my brother, tear this one up.
Well, I think I will do this on behalf of all my brothers and my sisters and all my great fishermen friends out there. Across the country, I'm raising my middle finger up and I'm telling those people that want to invade our fishery grounds, spin on that, jog on, jog on. These are our waters, and we're, if we've got the right to defend them, we will. Don't take the piss out of us, our fishermen. How dare you? You've been doing it for years. These are our waters, and if you don't like it, too bad. Too bad. And they will be defended. We have got our Royal Navy, and that will make sure our fishermen will fish in their waters without any hindrance from you bunch of mugs from the EU. Most of them are our friends, but you don't take the piss. Don't think that you can take the rise out of this nation. You know, we've done these things with you before. You've never come off right, have you? You know what I mean? And I just hope Boris keeps his still and remembers that when I say something, I hope that he's listening. You're listening, Bobo. How dare they? Who do they think they are? It's been our fishing waters for thousands of years. How dare they decide that they would invade? Basically, it's invasion, isn't it? You know, with these EU laws, Dave. But I'm going easy on it because we haven't seen it come to fruition at this moment in time. But I'm sure whatever they say will be like a fart in the wind, Dave. It means nothing. It means nothing what they say. As long as our fishermen get back what they've lost over the years, and to sit and watch their fishing fleets slowly and surely being demolished because they can't fish the waters. They're losing money over fist. And I want to see our fishermen once again bringing home the fish. Oh, Dave! Oh, Dave! I was going to say bringing home the bacon, but it's not quite appropriate enough, is it, though? I mean, that's the way I feel about it. And I think most people like ourselves, though, I know you feel the same, that it's unacceptable. It's out there. Who do they think they are? There you go, Dave. I'm done.
Well,
I'm
you're
done.
Right. A nice one, Jeff, a nice one. No, and you're absolutely right. I mean, this, once again, is the EU trying to say, all right, well, yeah, you had your Brexit, but we still demand that everything stay the way it was, or we're not going to have a trade deal with you. Well, as has been said by so many people, bugger the EU. You guys can have great trade deals all around the planet. You don't need to deal with the EU. And if other European countries want to deal with the UK, then they can do what the UK did, get out of the EU and make their own great deals with the UK. It is entirely possible, and until then, it is beyond ridiculous for anyone in the EU to demand anything after the 31st of December has passed, okay? They can demand all they want. They're going to get squat. Now, Jeff and listeners, the main issue for people when they voted for Brexit was immigration. Too much immigration, and even though people will go to jail over in the UK for saying this, too much immigration from Islamic countries, okay? But immigration itself is a big issue, and recently, of course, we've heard that the Johnson government has put out a points-based immigration system. This is a very interesting way of handling it. It's not necessarily how I would have handled it. And we have our own immigration issues in the United States. Americans, pay attention to the stuff you're going to hear here, because this is exactly the sort of, this is exactly the sort of razzmatazz in some instances with this points-based system that governments might try in the United States, especially if a Democrat gets in the White House in 2020. But guys, I want to play for you now a couple of audios. There are two of them, and Jeff and I will do some commenting in between, obviously. And they're from a guy who has a YouTube channel called We Got a Problem, okay? And I will say that there is some language in here. You guys might want to get the kiddies out of the room, because this guy does not hold back on the language. Usually I bleep this. But we're going to let this one go. If you want to go looking for this, look for the guy's channel, We Got a Problem. And the particular one I'm going to play the first part of, that's going to be just over 11 minutes, all right, is called Diane Abbott Gives Us Another Delusional Sky News Interview on the Points-Based Immigration System. Now, Jeff, I think that it is important to hear from the opposition and hear the noise that they're making about this. Because, again, Diane Abbott, the Labour Party in the UK, acts just like the Democrat Party in the United States when it comes to immigration. And it is important that we hear the facts that this We Have a Problem guy intersperses in with the stuff that we hear. So it won't just be the straight-up interview. He'll be talking about other things, and there'll be definitely some stuff that we can comment on. So, Jeff, if you're ready.
Yeah, just to give you an heads up,
go ahead.
We think we got two people in the chat. We've got Vulpalbite saying hello, and also
hello,
we got someone called Pedro like this. I like this. Pedro Magnifico. What a name! 2006, Pedro Magnifico. I love your name, mate. I love your name. But I just
Buenos dias,
you know,
yeah.
Just popped in there.
Buenos dias,
what
and
a
welcome.
Name.
Yeah, very nice. Welcome to both the guys, and well, the guys, or yeah. You know, we never know exactly who it is that has a specific name in chat, but welcome to both of you. And you guys can get in the EDL radio chat just by going, listening to our, getting into our programs. We podcast live Thursdays and Sundays at 8:30 p.m. in the UK and 3:30 p.m. Eastern in the United States. If you want to be in our chat, go to blogtalkradio.com, search for English Defense League Radio at the top search box. All right, follow the links, and you can get in chat. You'll have to register with Blog Talk Radio to get in there, but that doesn't take very long, and then you can get it right into the chat. And Jeff will give you a shout-out. Beautiful. So, Jeff, if you and our friends in chat are ready, we're going to go ahead and hit this first part of this audio.
Yeah, let's do it, Dave. Let's roll, mate.
Okay, guys, you're listening to the English Defense League radio show. Here we go with part one.
We got a welcome to the video, guys. So the government set out plans today to introduce the points-based immigration system that requires workers to achieve 70 points through a range of criteria we will look at later, but mainly we are going to be checking out a few clips from Labour MP Diane Abbott's appearance on Sky News with Kay Burley this morning, where she was absolutely destroyed for chatting a complete load of tripe multiple times throughout the interview, and appears to agree with that tosspot rapper Dave's comments at the Brit Awards last night calling Boris Johnson racist, before she obviously backtracks. Now first we will look at this BBC article that also features a clip from Priti Patel's interview this morning on the BBC, outlining the government's plans and of course Labour's response to them. Then we will get on to Diane Abbott. No visas for low-skilled workers, government says. Low-skilled workers would not get visas under post-Brexit immigration plans unveiled by the government. It is urging employers to move away from relying on cheap labour from Europe and invest in retaining staff and developing automation technology, which I don't really need to read through. We can hear a little bit from Priti Patel here before I continue over what Labour has to say.
From January the 1st next year, we will have this new points-based system, and it's going to be phased over a number of years. But with regards to how people can come to the UK to work, they do need to meet these skills criteria. So we've already set out in the policy statement and the document the level of skills qualifications that people need to come to the UK, and obviously points will be applying to that. But if, for example, they don't necessarily have the, or don't meet, for example, the salary threshold, but have the right level of skills in a particular sector where there is demand for their skills, then of course they will be coming to the UK and they will have tradable points that they will gain to come to the UK and work in the UK. But they're going to need to be sponsored by businesses, by employers, and we're already working with and discussing with businesses in terms of how that system will work and what this also means for business sponsorship, the way visas are granted. We're going to streamline the visa system to make it much more swifter, much more efficient. But importantly now, this basically redefines our immigration policy. So the brightest and the best, people with skills need to come to the UK, and we will no longer have the routes for cheap, low-skilled labour that obviously has dominated immigration and our labour market for far too long in this country.
Now, like I said earlier, we had Diane Abbott-Potamus on Sky News this morning to talk about this policy that naturally she hates with a passion, but in true Diane Abbott style, completely cocks it up, getting royally shafted by the Ramonian halfwit, Kay Burley, a few times during the interview. So, let's check it out.
Just wanted to... Diane Abbott's with me, actually. Diane, I just wanted to ask you quickly before we go on to what we're talking about. Dave, at the Brits yesterday, saying that the Prime Minister's racist. What do you think?
I thought it was extraordinary how that resonated with so many people online and in social media.
No, you idiot. It really doesn't matter who it resonates with online. According to you bunch of lunatics, the Labour Party and Remain sentiment in general was strong before the last election, to the point we had Jo Swinson claiming she would be Prime Minister, and the Labour Party's imaginary youth quake that trended on Twitter but not with the real people in this country would see Labour win, when in actual fact, Labour suffered the worst election defeat in 85 years. Much like this Dave Twat's political statements last night, the general public either don't care or, like me, think he is nothing but a snivelling shitweasel on par with the likes of Stormzy, that outside their little fanboy base, no one gives a shit about. Most of the country don't care about their music, let alone their political opinions, like any one of the batshit crazy crap he came out with last night at the Brit Awards. They really need to stop, much like the shitweasel celebrities running around trying to push their political opinions on us all on both sides of the channel. Let me tell ya, they ain't ever swaying public opinion. The only thing telling about social media is that you still think Twitter outrage or support correlates to real outrage or support among the country. It's a great start though, Diane. 10 or so seconds in, and the bullshit is already free-flowing. I'm absolutely loving it.
And coming days after, the government was embarrassed by recruiting a policy advisor who thought that black people were less intelligent than white people. I think the government has to be really careful how it's perceived by black and minority ethnic
people.
Doesn't
make the Prime Minister a racist, though, does that?
I think the government has to be really careful. There are issues of social cohesion here. And as I say, that policy advisor who thought black people were less intelligent than white people, he was clearly a racist.
do you think the Prime Minister is?
I think that the Prime Minister needs to be much more careful about how he is seen by black and minority ethnic voters. It's partly his past record, the kind of things that he wrote in the past, but it's also the kind of things he's going
You're
forward
about,
to do.
Women in burqas and the
yeah,
communities with
autism. I just think he has to be careful. I mean, being Prime Minister is about leadership, and he needs to offer leadership on issues of social cohesion. And one of the problems with the new immigration policy, which I think we're going to talk about, is it sends a message. It's a kind of dog whistle politics, and it's not necessarily going to work in a practical way.
Now, you will notice there, Kay Burley pointed out a few times, it doesn't make the Prime Minister racist, because in the first clip, Diane appeared to agree with the rapper's bullshit comments on stage last night. I think Kay Burley was hoping she would say yes, he is a racist. But even Diane Abbott is not that stupid, it would seem, because not once does she say he's racist. Though, she also does not say he is not racist. Instead, she skirts around it, talking shit about Boris needing to be careful, like she really knows what anyone needs to do to stay in power. Given the state of the Labour Party, it would be hard for Boris to fuck it up bad enough for him to have to worry about Labour taking power in the next 5 or 10 years. It's really not going to happen. Labour are digging their own grave still to this day. The election has taught them nothing. Take a look at the Labour leadership candidates and the lunacy they are coming out with at the moment. From trying to infringe on women's rights to the Queen and, of course, standing by the batshit crazy manifesto. Her claims he needs to offer ideas on social cohesion is correct, though, because with immigration levels as it was, this country's social cohesion would become a new social cohesion before long. So the only social cohesion he needs to worry about are from the people here, not others trying to come into this country. If you don't let them in, they can't affect social cohesion more than uncontrolled immigration already has in many parts of the UK. Even the French are waking up to it, if recent reports are to be believed. Influxes of immigrants from anywhere under the freedom of movement destroy social cohesion, you complete fucking melt. Which is probably why the Labour Party love it so much. They need new voters because the ones here won't vote for them. We heard Labour leadership candidates just the other day stating everyone would be welcome under their government, with access to state aid instantly and the right to vote. They don't even hide that shit anymore. If one group won't vote for you, import new ones seems to be their policy. She calls the new immigration policy dog whistling, when in reality, it's hopefully going to turn out to be what people have voted for in every election and the referendum for I don't know how many years now. Countless Tory governments claim to lower immigration in multiple manifestos, when in actual fact, it always goes up. Now that they can't blame the EU for it, we will see if they actually stick to their words this time. It's not dog whistling, though. It's called doing what voters wanted you to do. Something the Labour Party are failing to understand.
But what the Prime Minister, and indeed Priti Patel, when she was sat here just 10 minutes ago, she was saying that what they want to do is reduce immigration here in the United Kingdom. And that is what traditional Labour voters want, isn't it? Because that's what they voted for. That's why we've left the European Union. That's why the Red Wall was smashed down during the general election campaign. They don't want as many immigrants here in the United Kingdom. If we don't do it in the way that the government is suggesting, how do we achieve it?
Well, you know as well as I do that the government has been talking about lowering numbers of immigrants. I think David Cameron said, you know, and it's never once hit their targets. And I think that talking about numerical targets and talking about immigrants as if they're a problem is not the sort of leadership that government ought to offer. The Labour Party celebrates the contribution of immigrants. We want a fair system. We won't play the Tories' dog whistle politics because those numerical targets have never been hit.
Well, fuck me, Kay Burley actually said something that is true. Labour voters want to lower immigration. It's what they voted for. Shame she wasn't doing this in the lead-up to Brexit, the Ramonin spunk trumpet. If she now knows what the people wanted, then she knew before the election and just Ramoned because she had a serious case of Brexit derangement syndrome, thinking she could change the outcome, when in actual fact, people likely listen to Kay Burley about as much as they will some shit weasel rapper called Dave. I mean, what has the world come to when a rapper can be called Dave and not be laughed off stage, though? Dave, for fuck's sake. Not exactly gangster, is it? But anyway, Diane Abbott goes on about governments failing to lower numbers of immigrants with targets that they have set, which is correct. They used to have targets that they never hit, which is why Priti Patel said earlier they won't have targets now. The criteria is what it is, and to get in, you have to meet it, which they claim will lower immigration numbers. Like I said, we will have to wait and see if it comes to pass and numbers do drop. But Diane Abbott clearly didn't pay attention to the government's plans and instead come on to spout her own bullshit about numbers that no one has even put out there. You will notice not once did Diane Abbott come up with an idea to actually do what Labour voters wanted. She was directly asked how they would do it and instead went on to say Labour won't talk about immigrants as if they are a problem, when no one is saying immigrants are the problem. It's our government and EU policies allowing uncontrolled immigration into this country that have now sent diehard Labour voters over to the Tories in the hopes that they will actually cut immigration as per what they voted for. Abbott, though, is showing she wouldn't do what the country voted for, which will be the entire Labour Party's policy. But let's move on. There's a fair few clips to get through.
And welcome back,
well,
Jeff.
I mean, I can't believe that Sky News, who are, singing for the government as such, you know, a state-run thing, actually had Diane Abbott on. And I'm not surprised that Kate Burley didn't ask about figures. What figures can you show? Because Diane Abbott isn't very good with adding up. I think she gets up to about 7 on the fingers and then makes an excuse about the other 3. And to ask her, as if they've got a clue, talking about racism, whatever. The Labour Party, anti-Semitic, and the biggest bunch of racists going. I mean, and then you had the opposition with Diane Abbott. My God, the kingpin of the Labour Party. She's as thick as a plank, she is, Dave. How did she get a job like that? Why would people want to pay her money to be an MP? She's not fit to work in a cafe. She's terrible. I mean, you could hear she just didn't have a clue. So, I don't know why you really ask me these questions. You paid me some money to come onto your TV then, but I don't know really why I'm here. She always gives me that impression. She's totally confused. She's totally confused to be anywhere. But that's what I was saying. But that did make me laugh, Dave. Some of the things that guy said. It's the way that he puts the words like that. It's very good, mate. Very good.
Well, it is, Jeff, and I have to say, Diane Abbott seems like the typical lefty. I'm sure Vorpelbite, who is in the States, will agree with me. The lefties over here in the United States don't talk much about facts or figures or anything like that. They just spout politically correct verbiage and virtue signal and do all this nonsense that this woman has done and will do in the next part that we're going to play. The thing I found two things interesting in this first part, Jeff. The first thing I found interesting was what Priti Patel had to say about the points-based system that the government, the Johnson government, is currently having negotiations and discussions with businesses about sponsorship. Now, that's something, guys, in the UK that you're going to have to be very careful about, because this could be a backdoor way of actually increasing immigration. If they can come back and say, well, these businesses have sponsored these people, so they get to come in. Okay, so they can do this stuff through the back door, even though it's not coming through the front door. You guys are going to have to be very careful about that.
Well, we must hold the politicians accountable, Dave. That's all. Anything they're talking about, then we, the sovereign people of this country, need to know exactly what they're going to be talking about. None of these backdoor deals anymore. We want it transparent. That's what we, this is what we, most of us voted for, to put Boris and his government in charge to get our Brexit through and to be more transparent than we've had for many years with governments. And we're going to hold their feet to the goals. Why shouldn't we? You know, we put them in power, and we can take away their power, can't we? You know what I mean, Dave? But no, some good points. I've got to admit, more, the more I hear about this point system, I was a little bit miffed that we didn't call it the Australian point system. Right? We should have our own point system, you know, as a sovereign nation, you know. You know, it seems there's a lot of thinking going on, Dave, and it's and I think it's playing to a lot of people, like myself. When I first heard about it, I thought, oh, I don't know. But the more I hear about it, the more I think it's quite a workable proposition for the country to try to solve a big major issue. And one of the main reasons that we voted in the Brexit for anyway, to get out of the EU, but also to stop this overkill of immigrants coming across our, you know, to our country. You know, you had to, you know, we're only a small nation, you know that, Dave, 66, 68 million, you know, and there's only so much, you think when you're taking people in and, you know, hand over hand, and there's got to be housing, this, that, and the other, and new hospitals need to be built, etc., and you're out of taking an influx of people. That's all got to be taken into account, isn't it, Dave? You know, it's a big job, isn't it? You think, and it's the only way, if we can cut back, put things right in our country, and there's so many issues that needs to be resolved. It's we take more than one government to solve the problems, but there's a lot that can be done for the next few years. Anyway, hopefully we might start seeing some of them things and the government doing things that we more appreciate than they did before. But we shall see, Dave. You know, I'm always suspicious of politicians. I know you are, Dave, as well, and like many other people. So put their money where their mouth is, and we'll see how things unfold. But as I say, this won't take effect, I think, to, am I right, on the 31st of January when these numbers go into effect, if I'm right in my calculations, Dave.
Right, Jeff. Yeah, it's the 31st of January. But as I was saying before I got derailed, this is something that people in the United States should also be looking at. See, the more I hear about this, the more suspicious I am of it, just because they did not offer it with a cap on the number of immigrants. And look, I know that the numbers haven't been met before, but that's only because the governments haven't bothered to meet them. Okay, the a points-based system is fine as a framework, but you have to have a cap on the number of people that come in, or else it's just razzmatazz and a backdoor way to increase immigration. I'm glad that the issue is being addressed, but the thing about it is, Jeff, that it has to be addressed in the right way and in a way that will actually reduce immigration. Now, the second thing that got my attention out of the first part of that clip is that Kay Burley, the host of that Sky News show, did actually come out and admit what we've been saying all along, was that Brexit was chiefly about immigration and basically about the invasion of the United Kingdom, and this is me speaking, not the EDL. This is the Unpleasant Blind Guy, Dave Milner, speaking, not the EDL, of people from Islamic countries who have no intention whatsoever of assimilating into the Judeo-Christian culture that is the dominant culture of the United Kingdom. That was the prime reason for Brexit. And it did amaze me to hear Kay Burley say it, at the very least, that it was about immigration. So, Jeff, if you are prepared, we'll go ahead and run the second half of this. This is going to be just under 12 minutes long. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's go with it, Dave.
All right. You guys are listening to the English Defense League radio show. Here we go for the second half.
How can it possibly not provide more jobs for British workers if you're stopping more foreigners from coming into the United Kingdom?
Well,
those jobs are still there. They need to be filled by somebody.
Well, the Migrant Advisory Committee have looked at that, and they're saying it won't necessarily be good for the GDP. If you want to...
But who fills the jobs?
If you want to support British workers to do some of the jobs which migrants in the EU are doing, you need to look at training and further education.
Of course.
And at the moment, what employers are saying, whether it's employers in agriculture, whether it's employers in building and construction, which in London uses a lot of EU workers, or whether it's employers in the public sector, notably nursing and social care, what they're saying is that these proposals are going to make it much harder for them to recruit workers.
Well, it's not, because nursing and social care, they're going to be exempt, so that's not the
They're
thing.
Not necessarily exempt.
Well, that's what Priti Patel said.
Well,
is
you
she wrong?
Right, so Diane Abbott claims British workers will need a lot of training to be able to do jobs that won't be filled by EU migrants, because the Labour Party hate the British. And of course, completely forgetting that these new immigration rules stop low-skilled or no-skilled migrants coming over here and taking all the jobs. Point being, these low-skilled migrants are not necessarily trained in anything, otherwise they would be skilled migrants coming through the points-based system. A lot of the low-skilled jobs being talked about are generally jobs that can be done via on-the-job training for someone with little to no experience, usually because it doesn't require a degree in rocket science to get that job, which, if I'm honest, low-skilled workers seem to make up most of the Labour Party, a bunch of unskilled dimlows who couldn't produce an active brain cell between them. You will notice during that Diane Abbott only speaks about employers not liking this policy. Yeah, because they know when the labour market shrinks to a normal size, they will have to pay better wages to people. You would think that the Labour Party would like that, being the so-called party of the working man. But we know that is not the case. Even lying about the NHS and social care, which the government claims will be exempt from these immigration rules, showing Labour for the complete lying fuckpigs that they are.
British people want a limit on immigration.
British people want a fair immigration system. British people saw, for instance, the horror of the Windrush, and it was very clear British people don't want an immigration system which is not fair and is discriminatory. British people, above all, want an immigration system which is fashioned to support the economy, to help the country grow. And we're hearing from a lot of employers this morning that they're very worried about this points-based system because they think it's not going to help them build and develop their industry.
No, Diane, you idiot. Kay Burley is actually right. They want less immigration, which also makes it a fair immigration system in many ways. First, and most importantly, it needs to be fair to the people in this country. Then it needs to be fair to the people we allow in, since their presence needs to be a benefit, not a burden, on both sides. Uncontrolled immigration eventually starts harming the immigrants themselves. But if this policy is followed through with, it will be fair to everyone wanting to come here, because it will be based on their merits and how hard they have studied English and trained in their chosen field to warrant actually coming here. Equal chances for everyone, regardless of their nationality or race. Now, I might be wrong, but the only place I know of that allows unrestricted migration is the EU. So it's not like we are asking for something out of the ordinary here. It's literally the immigration policy the world over, so about 170 countries. We all know, though, the Labour Party's idea of immigration is open doors and let them all in, as you can tell by Diane Abbott's bullshit responses throughout this interview.
Okay, but the British people don't think that your policies are the ones that are the right policies, otherwise you'd have won the election.
Well, there's a number of reasons why we didn't win the election, but let's not assume
a major one.
Yeah, exactly.
And the point of Brexit is immigration.
But let's not assume the British public, when they're presented with the facts, are hostile to immigrants. The Windrush...
I'm not saying that's a completely different point.
The Windrush scandal showed that actually people just want a fair system. And I think they're entitled to have a fair system. We're also entitled to political leadership which doesn't play dog whistle politics. My argument is that the government is so anxious to look as if it's cracking down on immigration that it's not looking at the consequences of these new policies for the economy as a whole.
I think Kay Burley is just mocking her now, pointing out Labour's policies got rejected at the last election, which leads Diane Abbott to then blame Brexit, insinuating their position on Brexit cost them election, which it kind of did. But that allows Kay Burley to quickly point out the Brexit vote was about immigration, meaning the people of this country want it reined in dipshit. Of course, Diane Abbott can't admit she was wrong, and instead makes out like we are all too stupid and was lied to by someone about the immigration problem that we have in the UK. No, Diane, the only people trying to lie to us right now is you. We don't need to take information from anyone on the problems within the UK. We live it day to day, for fuck's sake. It's you politicians that live in a bubble without a Scooby-Doo. What's going on in the real world? I bet when the truth comes out next year in the census, there will be a reckoning for all political parties that have allowed this shit show to continue for far too long. As usual, though, Labour are telling us we are either too thick or brainwashed by someone, even though it's clear to see the country is overcrowded and changing for the worst. They won't be able to sweep it under the rug for much longer, though, guys.
So a future Labour government would reintroduce free movement?
Once we come out of the single market, freedom of movement falls. But you have to bear in mind...
There are all sorts of ways around that, as we both know.
Once you come out
Look at what happened in Norway.
Once you come out of the single market...
They're not in the single market.
Freedom of movement falls.
Norway's not in the single market, and yet they have free movement.
I can only go by what the facts are.
Well, those are the facts.
Yeah, but the fact is for us, as a country which has long had migrants going backwards and forwards, once you come out of the EU in that way, freedom of movement falls. And so we have to work with that.
Because Norway are not in the European Union, as I've said, and they have free movement at least.
We are, the Labour Party is content to work with the reality that once we actually leave the EU, freedom of movement falls. That there's going to be issues for the...
That's just not right. I mean, a future Labour government could change the rules so that they could reintroduce it.
Yeah, but there would be different rules, wouldn't there? I'm talking about the rules that exist. And I'm saying that there will be difficulties with ending freedom of movement. There will be difficulties for the industry and for society. But the fact is, with the rules as they exist, and the rules that the EU wants to stick with, that once we come out of the EU, freedom of movement will fall.
So what does that mean for Norway?
I can only say to you what the EU has said. The EU is saying that they're not going to have for Britain in a position where it's undermining the cohesiveness of the single market. That's what they said. I remember meeting with Barnier and he was very clear about it. The single market has its rules. And one of those, if you're not in the single market, then there's not going to be freedom of movement.
Oh my days. Diane Abbott just won't take the facts of life, will she? She said freedom of movement falls when we're out of the EU, which technically you should, but it's not a done deal, as Kay Burley points out, with the case of Norway. So it could also be done here. and I would bet your bollocks to a fucking barn dance right now that the Labour Party will bring that policy in quicker than they could call Boris Johnson a racist. It won't be in their manifesto, though, I would think. They would sneak it in under the fucking radar, like the snivelling shit weasels we all know they are. I mean, Diane Abbott is told the facts of the situation multiple times by Kay Burley and still sits there saying, I can only go by what the facts are, when she clearly does not know what the facts of anything are. It's incredible shit, but like I've said many times, I absolutely fucking love it, especially when Kay Burley points out to her that they are already the facts. That shit is gold right there. You will notice, though, Diane Abbott makes absolutely no sense in her responses during that clip, claiming the EU wants to end freedom of movement, which we know is a complete load of bollocks. Diane, you're literally just talking a load of shit about whatever pops into your head at that given time. No one for a second is going to believe that the EU doesn't want freedom of movement to continue with the UK. It's the UK government who are not going to continue it, which is exactly what the people of this country have voted for many times now. You know, the facts of life. But what a shit show of an interview that actually was. Ignoring questions, lying to the viewers about what the EU wants, and as always, telling people they didn't know what they voted for, or was brainwashed with lies about immigration. Still, I should say well done to her for coming on the show, given the fact her son is due in court any day now for countless attacks on NHS and police staff, along with a bunch of other alleged crimes, like a complete degenerate. I hope an interviewer pulls her up on that soon. It will be priceless. But on that note, guys, I am going to end the video there. Now, before I go, I've started doing live streams and uploading gaming content on my second channel. If you would like to come and join me for a live stream to chat in real time, have an interest in gaming-related content on YouTube, or just want to follow me over there because you are a legend, the link will be down in the video description below and as a pinned comment. I hope to see you all there. Now, as always, before I go, I want to thank our PayPal, Patreon, Subscribestar, and YouTube members for supporting the channel, along with everyone who watches my videos. Remember to let me know what you guys think down in the comment section below. Leave a like, subscribe with the notification bell, and share this video as it helps the channel a lot. And I will see you all in the next one.
Well, I agree with what he said. You know, I mean, if Diane Abbott appears on Sky News, I think she should come with a warning above her head that this lady talks bullshit. She doesn't know where she doesn't know what she's talking about, but we just like to nod our heads with and pretend that we take on board what she's saying, because most of us turn the TV off if we see her on Sky News. She's boring. She hasn't got a clue. No wonder she's a politician on the losing side of the Labour. Dave, it's pathetic. It's pathetic to hear her, you know. At the same time, it is humorous to watch how stupid she really is. And is this the brightest spark of the Labour Party? If it is, they're never going to win another general election, especially with her in their field. Dave, back to you. She's embarrassing to watch, man.
Oh yeah, well, it's about as painful to watch her. Jeff, you may want to call back in, brother. It's that time. It is about as painful to watch her as it is to watch any Democrat over here in the United States. You notice that she very weaselly does not commit to the possibility that her party would bring back some form of freedom of movement, in other words, uncontrolled immigration, if they happen to get in. All right, you notice that she, in a very cowardly move, she does not do that, despite the fact that Kay Burley brings up multiple times the fact that Norway, who have some sort of a weird deal with the EU where they're not in the single market, yet they managed to keep uncontrolled immigration for Norway again, through the back door. And this is why this stuff with this overcomplicated sounding razzmatazz immigration points system sounds like a big shell game to me. All right, I like numbers. You can have your point system, sure, whatever, but I would say put a cap on it, because you can't, as you said, Jeff, you can't trust these politicians, and you especially can't trust labor, who, like the Democrats over here in the United States, can't ever admit that they were wrong. They can't ever admit that their policies were wrong-headed. If you try and confront them with that, they either lie to you or they send their mobs out to turn violent. We've seen that with Antifa and Hope Not Soap in the UK. We've seen it with Antifa here in the United States with people being attacked. It is their usual garbage rhetoric. And now, Jeff, we're going to move on to a Breitbart article that I found. And this is one that has kind of colored my opinion when it comes to this points system. All right, this is one that they put out on, they put this one out yesterday, and I found it very compelling, I have to say. And, the fact that the government is addressing the immigration problem is a very, in the UK, is a very good thing. The fact that that President Trump and the Trump administration over here in the States is addressing it is a very good thing. But as you said, Jeff, as you intimated earlier, we have to keep our governments on, to the task of making sure that immigration is reduced, or even possibly, and this is me talking again, Dave Milner, the unpleasant blind guy, not the EDL, possibly even reversed. And I want to bring up one other issue, Jeff, if you don't mind. Now, they talked about how Priti Patel talked about how they were working with businesses to sponsor people to come in. And the meme seems to be, let's bring in people that are trained and can work in somewhat more skilled labor jobs. Now, here's the rub. Where do they get that training? Is it a situation where they're let into the United Kingdom, trained, and then given jobs? Or is it a situation where they're trained in their countries of origin, and if they meet skills criteria, they are then let into the UK? I think it's a point
that
there, Jeff.
That would be the preferable thing. Sorry, Dave.
Yes.
But
no, you're right.
That would be preferable, that they learn the skills
right
in their own country, so we know when they're interviewed to come into the country that they've got them skills that the countries need. I mean, that is it. It's just basic common sense, isn't it, Dave? Back to you, mate.
No, you're absolutely right, Jeff. Yeah, that was going to be the big point here, is that is the preferable thing to do, because otherwise all you're doing is bringing in more unskilled people with the promise, quote unquote, that they will be trained for skilled labor. And we all know how good governments usually are at keeping promises when it comes to people like that, especially when it comes to people like that that are basically going to be votes for a certain political party. Okay. Now I'm going to go ahead and Jeff, if you're ready, and play this this from Breitbart. This here is about just about 3 3/4 minutes long. Are you ready, brother?
Yeah, let's roll it, Dave. Cheers.
All right, you guys are listening to the English Defense League Radio Show. This is from Breitbart.
Boris Johnson's government not serious about taking control of immigration. Migration Watch UK, by Kurt Vindelka, on February 19, 2020. Home Secretary Priti Patel announced that the government will adopt a points-based system for immigration. But a leading immigration think tank says the proposal demonstrates that the government is not serious about reducing the number of migrant workers in the country. Starting on the 1st of January 2021, the UK will adopt a points-based system, replacing the current free movement of people mandated by the European Union. Under the proposal, prospective skilled migrant workers will need to have at least 70 points to be granted a visa, accumulated through their salary level and abilities. Applicants will also need to demonstrate their proficiency in the English language and show that they have a job offer in their specific field. We're ending free movement, taking back control of our borders and delivering on the people's priorities by introducing a new UK points-based immigration system, which will bring overall migration numbers down, said Home Secretary Preeti Patel. A minimum salary of £25,600 will be set for migrants. However, certain skilled labourers will be able to work in the UK earning just £20,480. The new immigration rules will also lower the current educational threshold, which requires a college degree, so that people with A-level-style qualifications will be permitted to apply for a visa. The new rules resemble a significant reduction in the threshold would-be migrants must meet, the salary level requirement having already considerably fallen from £30,000 per year. And importantly, no overall cap on migrant arrivals per year is being set, an important feature of the system were employed elsewhere, such as in Australia, where a quota ensures the nation receives a smaller number of high-skill migrants ready to work in industries experiencing shortages of workers. In response to the government's new immigration plan, Alp Mehmet, the chairman of Migration Watch UK, said, "These proposals suggest that the government is not serious about taking control of immigration. Not only will millions of UK workers see their jobs opened up to new or greater competition from overseas workers in much poorer countries, but employers will no longer have to look to find anyone at home before searching abroad. The main safeguard of a suitable pay threshold will be significantly lowered, with an added loophole that so-called new entrants, who might be workers with a decade of experience, could be paid little more than the UK minimum wage," Mehmet said in comments seen by Breitbart London. With no cap on numbers coming via the main route from the outset, this is a massive risk that will alarm the 30 million people who were expecting this government finally to deliver on their long-standing promises to reduce immigration and show belief in young Brits, rather than giving in to the demands of bosses, he concluded. In a Breitbart London exclusive video, before the general election last December, Mr. Mehmet said that the Conservative Party has run scared from their commitments to reduce immigration. They couldn't do it, largely because they were afraid, he said. The think tank boss said that it was nonsense to think that a points-based system would reduce immigration, saying that the government should introduce a cap on the overall number of migrants. A cap on the number of workers coming in. The Australians have it, why not we? If we are going to introduce that sort of system? He questioned. Follow Kurt on Twitter at @KurtZindelka.
And welcome back. Jeff?
Yeah, as you said, Dave, with what I've been hearing, it seems that there should be, if you're going to do a point system, there should be a cap on the number of people still coming to the United Kingdom. There should be a heavy cap on it, and, you know, and then work out those that have got or that those that the point system before they get you know, things to come through should all be looked at. Also, they should. I'm going to say this, and it's, you know, a lot of people aren't going to like it, but they need to all be able to speak English. You know, no sending them to school to learn that they must have our language already. They must know our language. And. And of course, something else I'd always like to say, and it probably would never happen, but to swear allegiance to the Queen and the country. That's it. That's it. I mean, when people go, Dave, I know how it's like in the United States. Citizens who sort of come over and sort of have to learn everything they do, and then you go and you have a like an exam, this, that, and the other to know what's what, and then you swear allegiance to the country and the flag. I mean, this is the way it should be done in all countries, Dave. You know, that is it. I mean, it's just the way that, you know, you want people to come into your country who love you as a people and the country as being their home country, and they should embrace everything that we've got, because it is very special. that what we have, you know, the educational systems, you know, and the NHS, this is all, you know, they should be really, you know, they shouldn't feel anything but love for the country and for the people that's taken them in. What do you think, Dave?
Right, Jeff, and I agree with you there. That I will give an addendum to that, though. In the United States, during the Obama presidency, the oath for new citizens to take was modified to where they no longer have to say that they will defend the Constitution of our country. The Trump administration, this is something I've been waiting for them to change back. That hasn't happened yet. That needs to happen. And yes, Jeff, the thing that we've been doing overall with both of these is to try and show people that they're going to have to keep on these politicians to make sure that they get what they voted for and not another razzmatazz shell game feel good thing. That's not what this is about. This is about people in their own neighborhoods being afraid to let their kids out because of these. And again, this isn't the EDL talking. This is Dave Milner, the unpleasant blind guy, because of these Islamists who are out there wanting to use their children as sex toys and the rest of the Islamic quote-unquote community covering up for them, and also the Islamists doing other horrible things like torturing dogs and cats to death. This is the sort of thing that made people vote for Brexit, and this is the sort of thing that the people need to make sure that the government acts upon and acts upon swiftly. Now, Jeff, I'm going to go ahead now, if you don't mind, and switch it over to our last big item. Now, as we know, as we put in the script, woke culture is one of the things that is basically killing both of our societies, both in the States and in the UK and in Europe, and basically everywhere that it touches, because its core ideal is to knock the old system down and to put another horrible system up. And Paul Watson made a video to that effect, which I will say, Jeff, that I did cut a bit of because there were some visual things in there that obviously people aren't going to be able to hear here on, you know, in an audio podcast. So I did cut it a bit, but I did leave Paul's information at the end, and I do encourage people to support him. He did this on the 14th, believe it or not, of this month on Valentine's Day. But, Jeff, if you're ready to hear this, we'll run it. It'll be about 11 yep. minutes long.
Okay,
all right.
Babe, let's roll, mate. Yeah,
all right. You guys are listening to the English Defense League radio show, and here is Paul Watson.
My life is nothing but a comedy.
Orange Man. Still bad.
If you rearrange the letters in the name Donald Trump, they spell Plod Turd Man.
So, Orange Man. Bad.
Orange Man destroyed.
Plod Turd Man.
Trump. Gloom. Bloom. Cramp. Riff.
Plod Turd Man.
Karen, I'm home. Did you hear what Drumpf said?
Yes, I heard about Drumpf. Orange Man bad.
Collecting the spare change that falls out of the pockets of all the Santas fucking each other in the middle of Duane Reade.
This is Jonathan. He needs a place to stay tonight.
It's an honor to have you here. We're very privileged and I'm happy to share everything with you.
Plod Turd Man.
You're not laughing. I just made my 1 millionth Drumpf joke and you're not laughing. Meanwhile, in the UK, supermarket Tesco had to apologize for telling people not to steal female menstrual products. Women, trans men, or anyone who menstruates should not have to worry about being reported for taking a necessity that I personally believe should be free. Tesco removed signs placed above tampons and other menstrual health products that asked people to report shoplifting of these items in its store in Kensington, London, after the signs caused mass uproar online. The company said it was very sorry for any offence caused and claimed that the sign was placed in error. Shoplifting is now progressive. A contraception shortage in the UK has apparently caused chaos for women wanting to have promiscuous, unprotected sex. Ho's mad.
No, not the heckin' pillarinos. You don't understand. I need to have promiscuous sex, consequence-free. No!
The degenerate hellscape of modern hypergamous relationships that has contributed to record high levels of depression and suicide in young people. That's fine.
No eggs.
Wanting to embrace traditional gender roles and become a trad wife. That's a form of extremism. According to the Institute of Strategic Dialogue, a think tank that partners with national governments, Google and others to, quote, counter hate and extremism in the UK, women who choose to be subservient to men in the framework of a traditional marriage are comparable to the brides of ISIS terrorists. This is where we're at.
Hey, Emma. I folded your laundry.
Meanwhile, UK TV host Philip Schofield was universally celebrated after announcing that he was gay. Fantastic, stunning, and brave. Just a shame he couldn't have been stunning and brave a little earlier instead of lying about it to his wife and kids for 27 years.
I think I have to speak on behalf of all of us when I say that we've got nothing but love and respect for you.
Sky News devoted three of their top four headlines to Schofield's announcement. The Daily Mail offered a running commentary on Schofield's every movement, reporting the monumental news that he had arrived home. The stampede of enthusiasm was so vehement that Buckingham Palace was forced to deny rumours that the Queen had abdicated her throne and that Schofield had been proclaimed king. And as Schofield was being lauded for ending his 27-year marriage, over in Australia, a mother of four was being publicly shamed on national television for making her husband breakfast.
I want to take you back to the 1950s. Brooke Smith shared her routine online. Here's what she said. I always make sure I don't go to bed until everyone's lunches are packed, their clothes are set out for the next day, including my husband's, and the house is clean, dishwasher is on, and a load of washing is on. I always get up early, 4:30, with my husband to make his breakfast and coffee. Go, Brooke. Whatever.
Taking care of your spouse and children within the context of a fulfilling monogamous marriage. The sheer temerity.
Oh, has he hypnotized her or something? Who does this stuff? Making his breakfast and then putting his clothes out of a night? Who does this stuff?
Apparently only ISIS terrorists, brides and tradwife extremists.
My only theory is that she might actually like her husband.
All right, Shemima Begum. Meanwhile, back in London, Sadiq Khan revealed the winner of the award for diversity in advertising. An advert that was so diverse it featured zero white people, celebrating different body types and skin tones which are underrepresented in advertising. Strange how the only advertisement seen in London that lacks diversity is the one telling white people to sterilize themselves.
Paul, brother, it is time. You must call out the egglessons again. They are ruining our birth rate. The sexual revolution and its consequences have been a disaster for the human race.
In entertainment news, I'm excited to see Rage Against the Machine's comeback gig at the Capital One Arena, the 11th biggest financial institution in America that helped pioneer the mass marketing of credit cards in the early 90s, enslaving an entire generation with mountains of consumer debt. Fight the power when the avant-garde becomes the guard. Cringe against the machine. Woke actress Jameela Jamil was criticized for being cast in an LGBT interest TV show when she's straight. Jamila's response? She suddenly announced that she was queer. Checkmate, bigots. I mean, she's been in a relationship for the past 5 years with musician James Blake, who last time I checked was a man, and before him she had a long-term relationship with another man she described as her first love. But yeah, you're queer now, Jamila. Okay.
Bullshit.
Next time someone calls me an Islamophobe, I'll just instantly convert to Islam. A Filipino climate activist wrote an article for Vice saying she left the environmental movement because it was too white. The climate movement is overwhelmingly white, so I walked away. The authors of the Emancipation Proclamation are overwhelmingly white, so I continue my life as a slave. Those awful white people and their spins wheel. Trying to save the planet. According to CNN, there are also too many white people attempting to stop the spread of the coronavirus.
So, Riley, what has been helpful to you in combating racism?
I think it's helpful and important to talk to other white people about racism. And I think a lot of people, they don't want to be racist. They don't think that they're racist. But they also don't know some of the things that they believe or say are and can be racist.
Frankly, there's just too many white people in here because it does make some of us POCs uncomfortable when we see too many white people in here.
Bespoke.
Paul Joseph Watson, don't forget about me! Let's go!
Scandinavian Airlines put out a commercial saying that Scandinavian countries have produced nothing and have no native culture that isn't copied from other better countries. Really makes me want to visit Scandinavia. Trump's being called a fascist for a new executive order that would mandate all new federal buildings be built in the classical style. Because Hitler liked classical architecture, so therefore if you like classical architecture, you're Hitler. Wait, Hitler also liked vegetarianism and dogs.
Sorry, white race. This is real life. The dog gets the Caucasian girl. Too bad, white man. But you can still see the sixth root race. Some of these casties is looking thick.
But forget classical architecture. This precious graffiti art was spray painted over by vandals in Melbourne. No, don't destroy the precious graffiti art. Meanwhile, forget about the coronavirus. Simping has reached pandemic proportions. Simping means I'm a young man lacking the capacity to interact with a woman in a respectful, positive, or wholesome way. So this is me lashing out at others who can, while marking myself as a socially inept outcast that's anxious around the opposite sex. It's a bit of a pandemic.
Bruh.
Hope she sees this, bro. Unlike all your old edgy videos, which no one can see because you unlisted them after cucking out to the left and becoming a... what's the word? Oh yeah, simp. This is how a simp would define the word simp. So congrats, point proven.
And who's that? Simp!
Jeff Bezos only follows one person, and it's his ex-wife. Hello, simp department. Imagine simultaneously being worth over $120 billion and a simp. Men literally beg for coochie online, yet women are the ones who need social media revoked? Yes. A new survey of more than 8,000 people has found that those who identify with left-wing political beliefs are more likely to have been diagnosed with a mental illness. Meanwhile, in San Francisco... Meanwhile, in London... Meanwhile, in Phoenix... Meanwhile, in Jacksonville...
A political statement from this man charged with ramming his van into a Republican voter registration tent on the South Side, barely missing volunteers, campaigning for President Trump. Detectives say Gregory Tim told them his dislike of the president drove him to carry out the attack.
It's absolutely crucial for you to help me fight the war on free speech by supporting me via Subscribestar, link in description, and also signing up for my free newsletter at summit.news/newsletter.
And welcome back, everyone. Jeff, your take, brother.
Well, it's there is definitely woke syndrome. I hate the word woke because it's a new word that's been made up. But Is everybody going mad, Dave? You know, I mean, it's pathetic. You know what's going on. I mean, me and you, we've often talked about. I mean, me and Joe, we often talk about how crazy things are. They just seem to be deteriorating. God knows what this country or any country is going to be like in 20 years from now. My goodness me, if you come from another planet, you want to make contact in 20 years' time, you'll fly down, you'll look what's going on. It's like, no, I don't think they're ready yet. I don't even know how to dress. You know what I mean? Let's go to another planet. It's getting that bad, isn't it, Dave?
It is,
crazy.
Jeff. It's insane.
Well,
I mean, you've got people, you know, young people in London barking like dogs and crying in the streets.
Yeah.
You got people in Phoenix and Seattle and just a number of cities in the United States screaming their heads off and acting like they're completely insane. And meanwhile, one of the things about this that really upsets me was two things. Number one, shoplifting is now considered to be a progressive thing that stores aren't supposed to ask people not to do. You know, good luck. Yeah, good luck with your business plan there, guys, on that one. And the other one is with something
energy,
really.
Isn't it? I mean,
it is. The other one. If I can get to the other one, Jeff.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. If I can get to the other one here. The other one here that really bothers me more than any of the rest of them is treating this woman in Australia who is a homemaker. And that requires a lot of skills, people. Ask any mother and homemaker over the thousands of years of recorded and non-recorded history in the United States or in the world of the earth how difficult that job is. And for that Australian quote-unquote news team to just crap all over this lady for choosing that lifestyle. I didn't know which was more disgusting, Jeff, the woman that introduced it or the man that groaned about it. This is a slam at these wonderful ladies who spend their lives molding the lives of their children and being an anchor for their own homes. And that, to me, is disgusting. But that's woke culture for you, Jeff. And, wow, man.
It certainly is, Dave. And it just goes to show you why we don't tune in to people with this woke ideas. I mean, we like common sense in our lives and this. I would like my children, if my kids were still growing, I'd hate my children to watch TV now because it's becoming... It's embarrassing to watch, actually, TV these days. There's so many transgenders, there's all sorts, and you think, I don't want my kids to grow up in a world like this. It's embarrassing, you know, but I'm an older gentleman like yourself, Dave, I mean, but we've seen so many changes. Myself and Dave was people... going back in our youth, live and let live. But now it's gone to the extremes, and we never thought. I never thought, and I'm sure Dave has the same thoughts as myself, that we never realised that it would become as grave as the situation we find our countries and nations in now with this total derangement, whatever you want to call it. Is it derangement or is it just total crazy? I don't know, Dave. I don't know. It's but a lot of us, as you say, a woman and an husband, they want to get married. That's what, I mean, that wife enjoyed doing those things that wives do. The same with her husband. If he goes to work or she goes to work, you do it as a team, don't you, Dave? When you're married, you're a team. You do things together, you know, and if your wife wants to, I don't know, do a bit of washing or do things, you know, most wives don't even think about it. They just do it, and the same as husbands, you know. Some husbands, they might do the youthing for their wives with their own for a couple of days, run to the school, do the kiddies run, pick the kids up from school. It's what you do as a team, isn't it, Dave? But even these people won't even take the natural things which we've always used to our parents for doing for generations upon generations, trying to take it away from people and trying to make it look as though you're a bad person. I think it's sick, and those people, especially those people who are still are sick. There's something wrong with them people. It's to educate whatever the brainwashing by the mainstream, whatever you want to call it. But that does seem to be the case, doesn't it, Dave?
It does, Jeff. And you have the modern man here, that has a woman who is a homemaker. And a lot of times, I know in this country, and I'm sure in yours, the woman is not only a homemaker, but she has a job outside the home. And that's why, the guy will come home and, do things like, kill the bugs, take out the trash, mow the lawn, clean the gutters, do all the home maintenance and whatnot. If it seems like she's had a rough day, maybe help with the dishes. And that sort of thing, that is the sort of thing, believe it or not, Jeff, that I grew up with in the 60s and 70s,
yes.
You help your wife. You don't let your wife get overwhelmed with the job of being a homemaker. It's not always a one-way thing. And for these people to make it look like it's some sort of a throwback deal to the 1950s, it just shows the cluelessness of some of these young people in this quote-unquote woke society. And I agree with you, Jeff. That it's not a non-word. The word woke is a word, but it's being misused in this case, and it's just another framework for political correct BS. And Jeff, I know we're about done with the show, so I just want to say to everybody,
time's just whizzed by tonight, Dave. If you'd like to do your normal things, your final thoughts for the evening, and where people can find you, and then we'll just. Then we just move on. I had a senior moment there. I couldn't think what I was going to say, Dave. I called it a senior moment. Go on, Dave.
All right, everybody. Please check out the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com. My regular show times on that page are 1 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday in the United States. That's 6 p.m. in the U.K. and midnight Saturday in the United States, and that's 5 a.m. Saturday in the U.K. And I will also be on the Exceptional Conservative Show with host Ken McClinton tonight. Just go to the ExceptionalConservativeNetwork.com, and you will be able to see that show there live as it happens, and we will be having a good discussion. That show happens at 9 p.m. Eastern, and that will be 3 a.m. in the UK, and I'll be on about an hour-ish later, maybe slightly earlier, but usually I'm on in the second hour, and we'll have a good discussion about issues relating more to the United States, but we'll may also touch on some issues from the UK, because he knows that working with Jeff, I have the honor and the privilege to have worked not only with Jeff, but with people like Tim Burton and other people. Jan Rennie, of course, people who know what's what in the UK. So check that out if you are able. Now, I just want to say the foot soldiers, angels, and the Brexiteers, guys, keep them to the mark, and to the freedom fighters around the world. Be prosperous, be blessed, and, of course, no surrender. Jeff, back to you, brother.
Yeah, all what Dave said, and no surrender ever, and we've got to go underground. God bless you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you again. He just told me you've got 90 seconds. Yes, I know, dear. With that, we're going underground. Come on, lads.
Good night, Jeff. Good night, everybody. Good night, Jeff. Good night. All right.
People might say that I should strive for more, but I'm so happy. as you ever hate me. I've been up already on my feet. People might need some tension to relax me. I'm too busy dodging green and black. Here's what you get. You made your bed, you better lie in it. They choose your leader to face your trust. And the lies will shut down and their promises run. You'll be killing machines with paper rockets and guns. And the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give a shit.
There you go, and yes, come down to the last part of our live show, and once again, I've got to thank you all for joining us this evening, especially those in the chat, Vocal Bite, and of course, that great name, I can't remember who he was now, but he had an awesome name, and I liked it. It was really cool, yeah, we'll be back again this Sunday. Just a little bit of a show note for next Thursday. We're probably going to do an encore show for next Thursday. There's things that needs to be done, and so we won't be there, but we'll be back again Sunday. But we'll see you this Sunday anyway. So, for myself and Dave and everybody associated with the English Defence League radio show and everybody involved with the EDL, the organisation, God bless you guys. And, we will see you again this Sunday. So, all I've got to say now, this is the English Defence League radio show, signing off for tonight. And just one more thing. Just please be vigilant out there, okay? Whatever you do, whether you are, don't be complacent. Just remember that we do live in some dangerous times. So that's all I would, just say to you. Always be vigilant. Wherever you are, if you're doing shopping or something like that, just make sure you know where there's exits for you and your family. but that's all I want to say, because we do live in these times that these sort of things just would flare up and catch you unawares, and that's the whole idea why those horrible type of people do it. But anyway, I'll say goodnight to you all. So you take care, guys, and God bless you. Thanks for tuning in to the English Defence League Radio Show, and we'll be back again this Sunday. Cheers, guys. Good night.